Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Love Hour. Merry post-Christmas day, because this will come
happy
out the
Hanukkah.
Day after Christmas.
Happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Kwanzaa. Merry Christmas.
Feliz Navidad.
Feliz Navidad.
Time out. Josh did not tell us about Champurrado. Oh,
it's so good.
Mexican hot chocolate, if you don't, I don't know, you probably don't have access to it unless you live in a highly populated Mexican place. I've actually never even seen it on the Mexican restaurants that we've gone to.
No, I haven't either.
But on the side of the street in LA,
it was really good.
Listen, Mexican people, they put cinnamon in their coffee and in their hot chocolate. It is a great addition.
It is a great addition.
Dude, at JoJo's soccer game, the parents had brought coffee. And they're like, this is Mexican coffee. And I was like, oh, I don't know about that, bruh.
It was so good.
So good. So our Champurrado, what's up with this chomp? What's up with this chomp? They're like, bro.
It didn't really taste like hot chocolate, though.
Bro, it tastes like heaven, you ask me.
It was really good.
And it's literally on the way to the kids' school. Let's get some Champurrado and eat tamales.
We had that tamales were fire, though.
But the Champurrado was lit. Nah.
No.
And I've had good tamales.
It's all about the cornmeal breading. That has to be done. Yeah, that has to be
the masa.
That has to be done correctly.
Yes, gotta be right. It's like the roux in gumbo.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yes.
Yes.
That's literally it.
If you don't have the roux right, then you don't have the gumbo right.
That's true.
Yeah.
If it's too dry, it's like.
It's crumble.
Or crumble. Yeah,
it's
gets
crumble
crumbly.
Skin.
I didn't like
it. Literally just needs more lard.
Oh, yeah. I got plenty of that.
There's a lot of lard in it.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to hear that. I
wanted
it to be better for me.
That's what gives it the flavor.
Oh, yeah. The flavors.
Now that sucks. Welcome to the Love Hour. Thank you so much. This will be our last episode of the year. We will not be releasing an episode next week.
As you are watching this, we are flying to Japan.
As you are watching this, we are literally
Delta
flying to
One,
Japan.
Delta 1. Playboy.
I'm so excited. So we are taking a full-on break for at least 1 week. We'll be back with you with new episodes. We'll be back to you. Sure. New episodes come January. But again, this will be our last episode of the year. Thank you guys so much for rocking with us for a year. We've we just hit over a year doing this consistently. We have not missed a week. Sans next week.
We'll be back on January 9th.
Yeah.
I was completely lost on when we'll be back. Because the 23rd, we're shooting for the week of the 24th. It's airing on the 26th. There's none on the
week of New Year's.
Yes. So for January 2nd, no episode of the Love Hour, Ratchet and Ratchet. That whole week.
The whole Kevin Stage Studios
Kevin
is off.
Kevin Stage is off. But January 9th, we'll be back.
So January 9th, we'll be back. Thank you guys again so much. We've had a tremendous success, wouldn't you agree? Across all platforms, all podcasts.
You've grown a lot as well.
I'm just going to accept it.
Creatively.
You know how many,
especially,
but. Someone,
oh, I was in the comments.
Okay, but did you
they
see.
They was on me and Josh's side.
Oh,
100%.
Overwhelmingly, that's 100%.
And that
true.
Doesn't always happen. They be
no.
telling me to shut up sometimes.
So
but
many
this
people,
time they were like, nah,
no, that's
Kev,
rare.
Right.
But I want. There was one girl who understood what I was saying, and
so
she.
Oh, you're going to go to the one comment
yes.
that gives you what you say.
Yes. Hold on. Right. She said,
by the way, Zay Zay thinks he's funny. He is funny, though. So I go, Zay, tie your shoe. He's like, you tie your shoe. And then he ties a shoe. That's this thing that he's been doing. He's like, be like, comb your hair. And he just does it, but he goes to the thing you asked him to do so fast that you know he's just trying to be funny, but it also is funny. And Melissa agreed. Melissa said this, and I think I agree. Boys get away with stuff that girls don't get away
that
with.
That is so true.
The stuff that Isaiah does, so he'd be crossing Melissa up and me. When he'd be walking by us in the hallway, he'd just be like, ooh, right? So Melissa one time asked him, did you finish your homework? He was like, no, but I can do this. And she was like, boy.
I was so mad.
And then she'd be laughing, and it's hard to punish a kid after you just laughed at him. So when we were in North Carolina with our family, we have a niece that is literally like 2 months older than Zay, or maybe 5 months, three months. Mariah is 3 months older than Zay. If she does that stuff to Melissa, to her mom, it's not funny. It is
at all.
It is disrespectful. Yeah, double standards, man. Starts with women.
That is so
true. You didn't
true.
Find that comment, did
girl,
you?
Girl, stop talking. I cannot find this comment.
Good.
And I'm so mad.
Good.
But what she basically was saying.
You can't say it if you can't prove it. You got a lot of stuff going on.
Oh, it's Slack. Okay, basically, this is what she was saying, though. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is the most accurate description I've ever seen of what I've been trying to say. What she is, here it is. I think Melissa is saying that creatives need to get their creativity out, whereas she has creativity to share, but she doesn't feel like it bottlenecks within her if she doesn't have an outlet like you would for Kev or Doe. And I think that is my definition.
Okay, so I agree with that, but I think there are ways. Okay, so would you call Josh creative?
Yes.
Why?
Because Josh, do you feel like
I want to know why you think he's creative. No. Before you ask him why he thinks he's creative,
I'm not going to ask him that. I need him to say something to help me articulate what I'm trying to say.
No, I want your answer first, because I don't want you to use his as evidence for you. I just want to know, as a viewer of what Josh does, do you think he's creative?
I think,
or why
that,
do you think he's creative?
Said yes. Okay, so I think this is my definition of true creatives. And only you could be like, no, that is me or not. But what I would say of Joshua is that true creatives feel like they would die without, and not maybe not literally, but they feel like their soul is dying a slow death if they don't get that creativity out.
I don't think that's true.
That is my definition of creativity.
That's your definition, so you can keep yourself out of it. Do you think your sister is creative, Monique?
Oh, yeah, Monique is.
Do you think it pours out of her or she'll die if
yes.
she's not creative? Absolutely not.
Call her right now. She's not going to answer. She's at work.
She better answer. Monique, her sister, super creative. She works with kids mostly. Like, she freaking did a pirate ship thing one time. Like, the thing was, like, draw pirate X's. She burnt the stuff
in
the
oven. How did
we
get here again? I literally did not want to have this conversation again.
Buried treasure. It was insane. Like, and it just pours out of her. But she's never like, if I don't create, I'm going to die. And just, even Josh doesn't, if he don't create,
are you like
die.
That?
I'm trash.
That's what I'm saying.
Trash. Wait, what's trash?
I'm trash with putting product out. But that doesn't mean that I'm not creative.
And he doesn't die if he's not
No.
Because I think what you're saying is, okay, Kevin Doughboy have comedy, for an example.
Okay.
They have a platform. They can go deliver a set based off their creativity and how they develop their jokes. That's one lane of how you can be creative.
It's true.
I just think that there's multiple aspects. Like you, I see you as a entrepreneur.
How did we get
here? Look up into that camera.
How did we get here?
Keep
can
going,
we do
Josh.
ASMR?
No, because you developed a book idea back when you weren't even in these creative streets thoroughly like you are now. And then now you just dropped your planner. You're actualizing all your...
How you write a book and think you're not... Like, that is mind-boggling.
Can I say
was
something?
Was that book not in you where you had to get it out?
Yeah, but...
The planner!
That's what I'm saying. From that to here.
The planner might be the quickest she's went from ideation to execution in her life. She couldn't stop thinking about nothing. The conference, it's literally... Even in your definition... These things are literally bubbling. I lay next to her at night. Is she sleeping? No, this her. Sleeping, listen, no. You literally
said,
I cannot sleep until I get this idea out of me. I want to sleep. You wake up doing the creative idea. Who is that at the door? Creativity. What if it's the cops again?
It can't be the cops.
So tell me again why you're not creative, why you wrote a book, and why you sit up at night.
That was a great time for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I didn't forget nothing. And you sit up and you create stuff. She drew the thing like I talked about last week, the plus one day. She's always thinking of new ideas. She has literally what you just said is happening. Why do you not see that as you?
I just don't see it as, I don't see myself as a creative as much as I see myself as a person who has, and that's what I said, I have creative moments, but I don't feel like at the heart of me is like a creative person.
I give you that. Like, Kanye is a creative. He's like, I think I said this last week.
Yeah, I'm
he's
done talking
music
about
and
this.
All
can,
this
we move, can we
but
move
that
on?
All I'm at, all I want you to say is that you are creative. You have the ability to create. Ideas come from your head, your brain matter. They are expressed in the form of events, books, podcasts, speaking, even makeup. Makeup people are called artists.
When you try different things.
What you did on your eyes, that is painting.
An artiste.
They're not makeup, not artists. They're not Munas. They're Muas. Enough! Okay. Yabasta!
Okay, okay, we're done. I'm not going to have this conversation. I really didn't even want to have this conversation.
I'm going to keep
right
having
now.
It until you accept I who just, you are. It's like you're in the NBA and you're like, I don't play basketball because I'm not LeBron James. If I can't dunk, I don't play basketball. I'm done. But I'm never done.
You know what else will never make you be done? Blue what? Chew. If you want to have an evening of all-nighter and you can get creative with the positions in which you do, please feel free to use Blue Chew.
One of the reasons when we go on vacation, like we're going to Japan, one of the reasons that we get separate rooms from the boys is so I can break her walls in. You hear me? That's one of the best reasons about having separate rooms. The kids, they turn the TV on, they watch Netflix, and then I watch sex flicks. You hear me? And vacation time, for me especially, is Blue Chew. You hear me? Oh, are we going to be in Japan, and that ain't going to be the only rising
Sorry.
Sun. Ayo.
Thank you, Blue Chew, for welcoming us back. I guess we're welcoming you back to the podcast. It is the holiday season. That means people have time off. That means that folks are making babies. And if you need to do that, please use Blue Chew responsibly. They are made in the USA. And since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. And best of all, there's no more awkwardness. That totally wasn't awkward, the conversation we just had. Right now, we've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use special promo code LoveHour.
LoveHour.
Just pay $5 for shipping. Again, that's Blue Chew, that's blue like the color, BLUE.com, promo code LoveHour to try it for free. Blue Chew is better, cheaper, faster, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
I just want to apologize for last week. Somebody sent Melissa a picture of me taking a little full break. Nap. I was trash.
You
sick.
Were asleep.
I was asleep.
I know you I were was, sick, though.
My head was pounding, and I was like, okay, while she reads this ad for 30 seconds, let me just close my eye. But I didn't realize how long. I mean, I was just like, the girl's Instagram story, I was like, Kev, you are asleep.
Yes.
But y'all don't understand how bad my head was hurting. And I was just, if we didn't do this for a living,
man,
I would have been home in the bed. I'm feeling better, but that day I was big trash. That Kev on Stage episode, I had minimal energy. I was literally like, just get through this, man, please. But I apologize because my head was hurting. Oh,
thank you for pushing through. Okay, so we're going to get into the episode. What I wanted to
Why are you in creative?
Hello. what I wanted to do today was, since we're coming to the end of a decade, is reflect on 10 lessons in the last decade.
Let's just pause for a second.
Okay.
2010, we have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old.
Yep.
Were we working at Boeing yet?
In 2010, I think so. Oh, maybe not. Maybe not. And maybe in 2012 we started at Boeing.
Yeah.
Because we moved here in 2014.
2013.
13? Oh, then March. We were, because we were about 2 years at Boeing.
Is that Boeing the
closest? Yes. Mm-hmm.
Let's pause there.
You I'm can take glad one you more pause. That up.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Well, I just want to see how much has happened in 10 years.
Okay. So let's do the
Your
first
hands
one.
Are freezing.
I'm cold. Let's do the first one and it'll lead into this because okay. I want to make sure we get through all 10. The first one is that no path is safe. Or what did you say about Boeing? The safety?
I said nothing is guaranteed.
Nothing is guaranteed. That's a better way to say it. And so nothing is guaranteed. At the top of the decade or thereabout, a couple years into the decade, we were working at Boeing, and now you can complete
the
your
Boeing company. Up. The Boeing company was like getting a job at the Willy Wonka chocolate factory. It was the most prestigious thing. They had not hired anybody on my program in 5 years. I don't know about your program, but there was literally like, no lie, the average age at Boeing when we worked there was like 72. Like
it's
they
old
had
people.
So many old people. Literally, no lie, no joke. On my program, the 737 regular program, not the MAX, this guy died. He was the head of this like division. He died, and he was the only one who had the password to this program, and no one they couldn't get back into it. The program was so old, they had no back doors into it.
That's funny.
No one else had the password. So when he died, they had to create a new program. So there was literally in our whole building, five people who were even under the age of 30.
Wow.
There. The rest of the people were 50 to 70. And I mean,
that wasn't the case on my program.
Yeah, but on mine it was. So earlier this week, the seven. So if you're not familiar, the 737 Max, which was Boeing's like iPhone X Max, it was a newer, sleeker, this and that. Earlier in the year, which seems like a long time ago, it was crashing in like Ethiopia. Like the some systems were failing, people were, the planes were crashing, and people were, you know, perishing. So they grounded that program, the 737 Max program. And I hadn't thought about it in a long time. I kind of thought they had
fixed like, it and moved on.
So Melissa, a friend of ours from Seattle, posted an article. The Renton factory where they make the Max was shutting down. Mind you, they make the Max and the regular there, but as they moved on, they were selling more Maxes than regulars. So they were still making these planes, mm-hmm. but the FAA had grounded them, so they're just basically creating a backlog. They can't deliver these planes because they're not grounded. I mean, they're not certified. So they had like a backlog of 400 made planes that there's nowhere for them to go. So they closed this factory down. So they moved all the people away to different jobs. But if that program doesn't get ungrounded, people are going to get laid off, mm-hmm. right? When we took that job, it was like, we got it.
We did.
We made it. Boeing, we're making, I'm just going to say it, $50,000. And I was just like,
Mama, we
Melissa
made it.
Melissa and I, we're, together, we're over 100 grand. So feels good to be rich. I mean, don't know. I mean, our kids were in private school. We owned our home. Like, I never thought I would make that much money in my life. Mm-hmm. I don't know what you thought. And that job was super safe.
I was a career person, not a creative person. Continue.
So, long story short, I feel bad for the people who work there. This isn't to gloat about that. It's just that when we were moving, everybody was like, y'all are quitting them good jobs at Boeing. You know how hard it is to get into Boeing? They don't have no young people. Like, literally, Boeing was like, here's your sister. Monique, I won't hold you long. I love you so much. You're my favorite. You know I don't feel that strongly about male. Here's my question. I said, I love you so much. I won't hold you long. How are you? Good. You're live.
Channel your sister.
You're live right now on the Love Hour. I have one question for you. Do you consider yourself creative?
Yes.
Boom. Boom.
I said that.
Okay. What? Oh, yeah, you're right. I was just excited to be right. Let me ask you this, Monique. Question number two. Do you feel like creativity exudes out of you, and if you don't get your ideas out, you are going to die?
No.
Okay, but not die.
Oh, no. Do not try to fix
it. Did I not say not die like, oh, I'm going to die? I mean, like, do you feel like it bottles up inside of you and you need to get it out?
No.
Thank
That's
you, Monique.
That's an actual no, though.
I love you.
Maybe I'm not understanding.
No, you're understanding just fine. Love you so much. Have a great day. Talk soon. Smooches.
Bye.
Bye.
Yes.
All right,
see,
move on.
We're both middle children. That's why we
I know. That's why I was like, channel me, but she don't never channel me. Where's Mel?
So people were giving us so much crap. Y'all are moving. You know, we were moving to L.A. Yeah. No Boeing. We didn't even get the Boeing jobs here because
I didn't even apply.
Yeah, I mean, like, we tried to transfer to Boeing. At least I did. And they were like, it doesn't work like that. You got to apply. And then you're basically applying. They're like, what about the fact that I work at Boeing? Like, what about it? It's basically how they said it.
No, no, no. Maybe that was true for you. That wasn't true for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. This is all from my point of view.
Okay.
So, anyway, I didn't think about it. Because at Boeing, man, you could go from 50 to 75. Like, I had a friend of ours who was in college. He was closer to 100K because he had been at Boeing for, like, 5 years by now. And he had his doggone life set up to where he didn't even have to go in,
you
but
sure
like
did.
Thursday from 8 to 12. So he's literally running his own other business and all. Listen, he had the game all figured out. But when I saw that, you know, online, I was like, dang, even that
is not safe.
Isn't safe. Mm-hmm. The Army, you know, everybody when we were growing up, go in the Army or get a government job. Remember the government was shut down?
Yep.
It was like, bro, nothing is guaranteed.
Right.
Like, you know, so Jim Carrey has a great thing about this. I won't get into it all, but his dad basically gave up on his dream and was like an accountant. And he was just like, man, you spent your whole life being sad. You could at least try to do what you want to do. So I feel very vindicated knowing that we came here and chased our dreams and the thing that we left behind wasn't as guaranteed as we thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I know they probably knew that was coming if you worked on that program, you know. And I actually do hope Boeing gets it together.
I do too.
Because I prefer Boeing planes over Airbuses.
But there's a lot of people with jobs that are
that factory is like, the crazy thing is, even those, the so they built like what's called a Rent and Landing, and it's kind of like a shopping center, mm-hmm. movies, all these restaurants, like right next to that factory. So those business owners are like, dude, without that, we don't, that our business is down 50%. Mm-hmm. So even that business owner who had like, oh, I got the job here, and they, like everything's affected. Right. So nothing's safe. So you might as well go for the gusto.
But do it responsibly. Kind of along.
Nah, don't do it responsibly.
Kind of along that same path, one of the things that I've learned, lesson number two over the course of the last decade and really more recently, is that there are more ways to make money that don't require you to go to a 9-to-5. I think I always tethered a paycheck and money with clocking into work. Not realizing that you can monetize your, you can monetize yourself. You can, yeah, your creativity. You can monetize and brand yourself, and money can flow in other ways. And I think that was a revelation, truly, that I had. Even like, I won't give numbers, but just as we've been doing the podcast, and yesterday we were trying to work on like scheduling and that kind of thing. And I pulled up the revenue of the podcast, and I literally was like, you got to take a moment, mm-hmm. because you didn't know that this was a possibility 12 months ago. You didn't know this was a or 13 months ago. You didn't know that this was a possibility. You know what I mean? And so now to be walking in this is just so like mind blowing. Do you have anything you want to say there? Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two, another lesson that I've learned is the power of saying yes.
Is this from Shonda Rhimes' book?
No, but it does kind of tie. Okay. I did read her book in the last decade. The power of saying yes. We are in, as we've been doing like pitch meetings, they always say that people are in the business of no. It's so much
especially
easier.
Especially a doggone pitch room.
Yes, it's so much easier to give a no. And I feel like as people, we are often in the business of no because it's safe, it's comfortable, and I don't lose anything. Except at the end of your life, you don't want to look over your life with regret because all you've said is no.
Yeah, you only get the one life.
Yeah, you only get the one life. Mm-hmm. And so
but in Jesus, you get everlasting life. Hello.
And so I have learned the power of being able to say yes to some things, even if I say it in fear, even if I say it with much trepidation. There's a whole new world on the other side of your yes.
I love that.
Anything you want to add?
No, I'd be saying yes.
You do?
I'd be saying yes almost recklessly. I think the thing that's interesting about me and you was so different. Like, let's take the new office, for example. Mm-hmm. So We're pretty much finalizing the lease for the new office, and Melissa, conservative list, is like, Kev, how? Oh, my God.
I'm just like, scared.
All right, bet. I'm scared, too, but I think it's how we handle our fear.
Yeah.
My fear.
Ooh, that was good.
Yeah. Like, I'm definitely like, bro, it's a price tag. I ain't going to hold you. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, all right.
For a long period of time.
For a minimum of 5 years to protect ourselves from racism. And so when we actually do enhance it to the office, we don't feel like we might lose them in a year, which I didn't think about when we did this. I had no intentions, but, you know, you live and learn. But I'm like, all right, what can I do to help subsidize the cost of this? Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm about to be on my Byron Allen. I'm going to tell y'all right now. If you don't know about Byron Allen, he created a lot of content, and then he sold the ads himself to companies. And with Kev On Stage Studio content, I'm about to do the same thing. So look out for that. But I'm like, we're going to get this office, and we're going to make it work.
Yeah.
Like, we have a way to cover it, but it is a huge cost.
It's a huge undertaking.
Huge undertaking. But I also, when you have bigger spaces, it like in a lot of things in life, getting this office allowed us to do more than we could do.
Right.
Like, we couldn't have Game Night or Unpopular Opinion if we were shooting out of my house.
100%.
Right? You just, there's no room, even if you were cool with it, which we wouldn't have been because we live there. And during ASCA, we realized this isn't the place for.
Yeah.
So some of our best content that people like now, even the Love Our Guests, like, we couldn't even fit four people great there. We was making it work, but it wasn't great. So now with this office, we're like, oh, with this space, we can do this, you know, the new content. And now with a bigger office, we can do more content. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, a lot of times in life, you have faith and you step out. And when you step out, you know, kind of like the thing that when we moved here, when you step out, you get where you're going. And we needed to step out to get there. And that's what we're doing. And this live got stuck. By the way, if you're not knowing, on our Kev On Stage Studios Patreon, you can watch this live. Go to kevonstage.com and join and help support. You can watch this live. Even though it's buffering.
Okay, I just want to take a break here while we're talking about the internet and talk about how pictures are no longer a thing where people have like physical pictures. And the holidays are coming up, and we're always looking for great gifts to give to people. And so we want to tell you about Paint Your Life. We take videos and pictures every day on our phones, but there's nothing like a hand-painted portrait. That's why I have to tell you about paintyourlife.com. At Paint Your Life, they provide a true painting done by hand by a world-class artist. Create it from your favorite photo. Kevin and I have one with like our grills. It's on like my Instagram. You guys should check it out. It's fantastic. It makes the perfect holiday gift, but it's also great for birthdays, anniversaries, and weddings. And there is no risk. And there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded. That's really good. Right now, as a limited time offer, get 30% off your painting. That's right, 30% and free shipping. 30% is your tithes times 3. Okay, that's 30%. To get this special offer, text Kev, that's K-E-V to 64,000. Text Kev, K-E-V to 64,000. One more time, that's Kev. To 64,000. As we're entering into the new year and you are starting to get your resolutions and what you want to do, and we're all having our vision parties, make sure that you have your health on your list. Health is wealth. Isn't that the saying? Mm-hmm. Health is wealth. And so we want to tell you about Noom. Noom is really amazing because of the ease and convenience of everything all in one app. Another reason I love Noom is that it encourages you. It doesn't shame you. It knows you're human. And I want to tell you something. I was reading a book and it was talking about the importance of running towards something positive instead of running away from something negative. So you will have greater results if you're working towards something that is positive instead of running away from something negative. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Noom is a habit-changing solution that helps users learn to develop a new relationship with food through personalized courses. Noom is not a diet. It's a healthy, easy-to-stick-to way of life. You don't have to change it all in one day. Small steps make big progress, and done is better than perfect. So just make incremental steps every single day. Sign up for your trial today at noom.com/lovehour.
Love Hour.
That's Noom, noom.com/lovehour. What do you have to lose? Visit noom.com/lovehour to start your trial today. That's noom.com/lovehour. Get a head start on your New Year's resolution goals. The next lesson of the decade. There is a difference between planning and paralyzing excuses. I actually just talked about this in the Noom ad. Done is better than perfect.
Yep.
I said this in the last episode, and a lot of people caught it, in that we don't want to plan ourselves into paralysis.
Right.
And so a lot of us do that, and I have learned to work more intentionally about putting legs to my ideas.
Yeah.
And not just creating a list of like grand ideas, and that's all it is, and that's all it will ever be, is a list. Yes. A dream list, and actually trying to execute.
I love that. I think you can almost say my whole YouTube, Instagram, Facebook career is done is better than perfect. Every time I make a video and post it, somebody comments a funny joke that I wish I thought of, mm-hmm. or something, or I think of something after, or I go through my head like, oh, I don't know if this is funny, mm-hmm. but I'd never let that stop me from doing it. And people enjoy it. Even like the Dear Kev that we just posted this morning, or as we shoot this, I felt like this is not funny. Yeah. So many of the Dear Kevs, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope for the best. But people enjoy them. So I think a lot of people allow other people to win because they just don't do.
Yes.
And the doers are better than the people who don't do. Mm-hmm. Like, you just, you know, somebody's got to run for, you know, like, how this guy become president, or even student class president. I remember in high school, like, you running for class president? Why you? But I was too scared.
And a lot of things go, just kind of going with your analogy of running or running for, like, office, so to speak. How many people win by default because they go unopposed?
Yes.
And so we need to either present opposition, competition with someone,
yep,
or simply do it and maybe the next person isn't going to, and now you've won by default.
Love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The next one. The power of, I've learned this year, the power of become,
lot.
Well, this is over the last 10 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a whole decade.
Learning.
The power of becoming, evolving, and changing. The part of the reason, and like the one non-negotiable I had for my logo, was the butterfly. Number one, and actually people have been asking me, like, what does it mean to you? I've always loved, I wore my butterfly necklace. I actually have another one that I've had for years now.
You should get a gold grill with a butterfly on it.
I wanted one when we did it, but I couldn't find one that, like, I liked, so I ended up with the cross. But I've always loved butterflies because my grandmother loved butterflies. So even as a little girl, I've always loved butterflies. Specifically this year and the evolution that I've done, more than just, like, you know, with the brand and the business, on a personal level, I've had and experienced so much growth. And when I think about the last decade and moving to Los Angeles,
California,
and the growth that has occurred in me since that time, I just feel like I'm starting to understand and recognize the power that is, yeah, being able to evolve and change and grow as a human being.
I didn't even realize that the majority of our last decade has been in California.
Mm-hmm.
This decade has been 7 years of
7 years.
7 years of this decade has been in California. And we grew up moving a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, once we moved to Washington, I was like, I'm finna be here for a minute. And then I was like, I gotta get out of here. But the crazy thing about life and just us being here, I can't even have imagined that I would be here. We would be here. I had resolved myself to be like, Melissa's never gonna be on camera. I just should forget it. Mm-hmm. Like, as much talent as I think she has, this is just not going to be her. And you were stubborn as an old mule. You just, not going.
I still don't like to be on camera.
I know, but I would just never have thought you would have even been doing this. And now you're just, you know, you're much more comfortable than you were. You'd be doing lives. Remember the first time you went on Periscope without me?
Mm-hmm.
You were palm sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy.
I was a nervous wreck.
Spaghetti. She nervous, but on the surface, she keeps calm and ready.
Okay.
To drop bombs, but the words
okay,
she
aren't
forgetting. She wrote down, "Oh man, spoke so loud, spoke so loud." But you were like, "Kev, I'm going." And now you go live without me all the time. You got your own audience that you know that is independent, independent of me or mine. And, you know, they be telling me to get off my line because we over here with the book club booth. Mm-hmm. Okay, if it ain't going to listen to your kid, we're listening to listen now. You know, so I can't imagine what you do in the next 10 years when you, like, finally start to accept your skills. You're going to be like Miles Morales.
What up,
Danger?
I think the other thing about growing is that it is scary because it does change the dynamics of your, like, relationship. That's something that we've experienced. And that can be, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trying to navigate new terrain is really, really, that's really scary. But it has, I'm so happy we went through that because I wouldn't change where I am right now for the world. Like, I'm
right.
So grateful to be in this space.
I you know, grateful is such a good word for this because, like, the Lord didn't have to do it, but he did.
Right, right.
And I'm just so happy that I get to do what I love and people support it. They willingly, you know, watch, listen to the ads. They buy merch. They donate to the Patreon. They come to the shows. Like, you know, very few people do all, but people, they do some, you know, that maybe they can't come to the show every year. But, you know, I started posting some dates last night because we're finally almost done routing the tour. And when I post those Facebook links, because I usually post that before the website, people are like, oh, girl, we got to go. Yeah. I saw him. Man, I hope he comes here. You know, and it's just like, man, y'all still are excited to come. That is, I don't think I will ever take that for granted.
Yeah.
Because I know what it's like. And I think that's the difference between us and most people. We did not grow up thinking, you know, people in our life weren't doing this.
Right.
So this is, I'm always eternally grateful for every listen to the podcast, every watch of every video, every ticket purchase, every merch, every thank you, every video share.
Thank you.
Because people be falling off or people never get on.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. The next one, I don't know if we're at like maybe five or six, but the next one is marriage takes work and commitment.
Marriage takes the work. It should be about the work. You know what's going on? 4 years since Rihanna released an album.
Rihanna ain't said an album.
I'm just saying.
Live your life, Rihanna.
We were talking about it yesterday.
I think that I always knew that marriage took work and commitment. I think I always heard it. I think it was something that people have said forever and always. And so you just kind of adopted that as like words to say about marriage.
Yeah.
I never experienced what that meant as much as I have in like the last 18 months.
It's so crazy that it took, in some ways, 15 years for us to hit a real hurdle.
Yeah.
Like a real hurdle. I was like, this girl tripping, cuz, on the Crippin' Blood. She big tripping. Last Christmas, when Bird Box was out, Joshy?
I still haven't seen that movie.
I was like, bruh, get me out of here. Get me away from this woman. She got my nerve. I am very grateful. I feel like we broke through, though.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a newfound love and respect for each other, understanding for each other. Mm-hmm. And I just want to clarify, this work is because we were changing. In this instance, Melissa was, you know, that was some butterfly wing popping out of the cocoon.
That was.
Change. That was some like, nah, I'm not going back to the old. Mm-hmm. Wait, I was watching some video. Pastor was preaching about butterfly, and I was like, hey, my shot there.
You should have sent it to
me. But man, he was talking about how like the cells work and all this. But the point that he got to is when the butterfly breaks out of the cocoon, it doesn't even remember life as a caterpillar.
Mm.
Like all the necessary stuff. And I was like, I hear that boy shit.
That's good.
And that's what I want, like, for you. Like, I have said this many times, and I don't think people believe me or they think I'm joking. I'm fully aware of the possibility of, if Melissa believes fully in herself, her completely surpassing me in popularity, a la Michelle Obama rocking. Like, after the presidency, Barack was like, all right, bro, I'm chilling. Michelle becoming Essence, like, and I don't think Barack is tripping.
Sure.
And that's what I fully plan to support you. All I want is when you send your rider out, travel for two. Let me get up in the suites. Let me be up in there eating the first class snacks. But I fully anticipate you with the little, I've said it before, little headset mic, doing this, TED Talk. Fully believe you'll have a TED Talk.
Nobody does this.
What you gotta understand, ladies.
That's so like that Joel Osteen.
The rest is still unwritten. And then, boom, Natasha Bedingfield is there.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
Conferences, like, you might be more likable than me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't tend to offend. I piss people off sometimes. Just the way I am. Rather be pissed off than pissed on. You hear me? But, anyway, I said all that to say, like, I'm loving the and honestly, I think because I'm going on tour next year and we're not doing a Love Hour tour,
mm-hmm.
I think it's going to allow you to activate a lot of stuff
mm-hmm.
because you're going to have more time. Like, that travel half the week really, really, and honestly, it's super taxing. And I'm actually glad we're doing comedy clubs this year just because we won't travel so much and I can do some more creative, fun stuff. Like, mm-hmm. Man, when we were doing Righteous and Ratchet, the couple of times we were in the same city for 2 or 3 days, mm-hmm. Man, you sleep in, you wake up, have breakfast, go to the gym. Like, it's not get up, fly, drive. Where's the merch? Like, it's not all that. You know what I mean? So I'm excited for even myself. Like, I just better more side.
That's good. I think one thing that you hit on that I actually wanted to say.
I hit on you. That's why we're married.
Okay. Is that one of my purposes.
And by that, I mean flirted.
Oh, got you. That was good clarity.
Yeah, times is changing.
Time's
up.
one of the things that I think is important about the butterfly, and one thing that I always say, is I actually don't ever want to actually become the butterfly. Like, I don't actually want to be the butterfly. I always want to be actively evolving, changing, and growing.
What?
Because I feel like, what's the life cycle of the butterfly after it becomes the butterfly?
Oh, we're not going literal with that.
No, I know. But what I'm saying is, I never want to get to a point where I feel like I've arrived and I have nothing else to learn. I have nothing else to grow. Yeah. I have nothing else. Like, I always want to be growing and changing and, like, always going through that, like, cocoon emerging process.
Yeah. I feel like you'll be a butterfly and a caterpillar in different ways.
Yes.
You know, the speaker of you has emerged. Mm-hmm. Now the entrepreneur cocoon is, you know what I mean?
Right.
Then you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like it's that more than, like, if you ever feel like I've made it, I've arisen, you have lost.
Right.
Great actors always say that. When you feel like you're a great actor, you're terrible.
You never feel like
you're the smartest person in the room. Never feel like you all learn. Like, I told Josh the other day, like, part of me with the Skillshare ad, I always say this, but it is true. One thing I like to do is learn how to do stuff that's hard. Mm-hmm. So even with the, like, GoPro, me and Melissa got the GoPro. Shout out to Gloria and Tanamo. Mm-hmm. And with the DJI, like, learning how to vlog. Mm-hmm. Like, we tried earlier this year and last year, and then we was like, never mind. but now we're going to try again, you know. And I like that. I like learning how to do new things, how to expand our business, even, like, switching the merch over, all that stuff, is so that we can be more efficient. And you know, I'm looking forward to my butterfly cocoon thing is Kev on stage, the producer. Like, this last decade has been, for me, groundwork, foundational building. Mm-hmm. With my core audience, with my, you know, internet, you know, fans and things like that. And I feel like I figured out how to make short form videos about as good as I can do.
Sure.
There's nothing new that I can add to this that hasn't been done. Mm-hmm. But television, film, the building, this business, the office space, studio space, and, you know, unscripted content, there's a lot more to expand on Kev on Stage Studios that way. So that's the part I'm most excited about. I still enjoy making short form videos because I like making people laugh. Mm-hmm. I like making myself laugh.
Right.
You know what I mean? But the other stuff, even developing projects, the one thing that I'm not used to, though, is developing, like, big projects. It be taking time.
Yes.
Bruh, this whole year, more meetings and the tweaks and more tweaks and a meeting. And what do you think about this?
Yeah.
And a meeting and a tweaked. and it's like, with this idea, shoot, edit, post, done.
Yep.
With TV, movies, bro, is like meetings I had in Nashville 3 months ago, mm-hmm, that might actualize in 2022. Mm-hmm. You don't even know. You know what I mean? It's like, it's tough. And I'm so, half the time, I'm just more exhausted than anything. It's like, I need a good night's sleep, really, to function.
And where do you sleep on?
My purple mattress.
Your purple mattress. What? We actually do have a purple mattress. We actually sleep on our purple mattress. We actually enjoy our purple mattress. What is so funny to me about these is that people are always, like, side DMing me, like, yo, on the real though, do you really like your purple mattress? one thing I don't do is lie on my ads. I try to give you guys things that I actually really like, enjoy, have, or something like that. So you don't have to side DM me. What I'm telling you on this podcast is my truth. And we all know sleep is important. The quality of your life, your daily life, is dependent on how well you sleep the night before. The purple mattress will probably feel different than anything you've ever experienced because it uses brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. Did I say rocket scientist? Mm-hmm. It is not like the memory foam I'm used to. The purple material feels unique because it's both firm and soft at the same time. So it keeps everything supported while still feeling really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. And in real life, I always get neck aches. And, like, I have to get adjusted all the time.
Well, I can adjust you.
And since I got my purple mattress, I haven't. I haven't had needed to get adjusted.
Oh, it's went way down.
Yeah, it really has. That just really hit me, like, right now. You get a 100-night risk-free trial. If you're not fully satisfied, you can return your mattress for a full refund. It's backed by a 10-year guarantee, free shipping and returns, free in-home setup, plus removal of your old mattress. You're going to love Purple. And right now, our listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. worldwide. Just text HEART.
HEART.
You guys, that's a new code. That's HEART.
HEART.
To 84888. The only way to get this free pillow is to text HEART.
HEART.
That's H-E-A-R-T to 84888. One more time. That's HEART.
HEART.
To 84888. Message and data rates may apply.
Do you say data or data? Or do you always say data?
I think it depends on what I'm saying, but I think I always say data. But I think sometimes at work, data. I would say data. I think in professional work environments,
smooth
I would say data.
Up a data.
Okay, so I think we have like maybe three or four more. The next one lesson that I've learned in the last decade is that middle school is the ghetto.
Bruh.
This decade, our kids transitioned from elementary school to middle school, and it is the ghetto.
Big trash.
Middle school is a barrio.
Man, it's funny in so many ways.
I hate it.
Let me tell you what. I grew up as a child, and somehow that experience is wildly different than watching a child grow up.
100%.
Watching my children grow up, I'd be like, y'all big trash in here. First of all, my kids are very funny.
They are.
They are so funny. Josiah is so sarcastic. And you know what? He watches a lot of sarcastic YouTube creators.
Yeah, he does.
And it sharpens his sarcasm.
Yeah, it does.
Right? So, them and their friends at school, their personalities. JoJo, by the way, big shouts to him. He wants to play soccer still.
He does want to play soccer still.
Melissa, she played it perfectly.
I did.
And she came home last night. So I was shooting All Deaf. We'll talk more about that with in the Righteous and Ratchet episode. Well, actually, you probably would have heard about that with the way this airs. But if you haven't watched Righteous and Ratchet, we'll talk more about this. So I'm shooting, you know, all day yesterday. And Melissa's like, Kev, what time are you going to be home? I got to take JoJo to soccer. And I'm like, we off that. It ain't no problem. I mean, the only soccer I'm watching, Premier League, Champions League. Champions League, the group stage is over. It's round of 16. It's go time, baby boy. So Melissa's like, yeah. I was like, soccer? She was like, yeah. So I get home. I was like, well, I thought, like, low-key two things. Joe didn't want to play, and soccer season kind of like – is a big break during Christmas time. And she was like, he got a scrimmage on Saturday. I was like, oh, we back like we never left. So tell him what happened.
So what happened was Joe decided he no longer wanted to play soccer about 2 months ago or so. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember. And it was just like adamant. I want a break. I don't want to do it. Whatever.
And we were like, bruh, please play because you're great.
And we didn't understand why. And so we kind of were like, are you sure? Like, let's make sure. And then we both decided, let's stop bothering him. He said he doesn't want to play. Let's not play. So I said, I'm not going to bring up soccer at all. We started traveling pretty heavy. And I was just like, you know, I have my Monday back. I ain't
listen.
My Monday, my Friday, and
my
Saturday. That
was the only benefit. Like, I enjoy watching him play, but having to take him
to
having
practice,
to take him to practice sucks.
Yes.
The games, I don't mind because at least you get to watch him play a game.
But practice be bro. 3 hours.
You're talking
be
about
cold,
practice?
It'd be a lot. And
not a
so,
game.
So I was like, fine, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to remind you anything. So the coach texted the parent chat and was like, there's practice today. I was just like, we're kind of off that. Plus, when we were in Puerto Rico, I just told him, like, we're not going to be present through the end of the year because I didn't know what was going to happen. And I don't know if Joe has, you said he probably
Fortnite
and his friends talked to him via the game and they told him he had practice. So he came when I picked him up from school. He was like, mommy, can we go to practice today? And I was like, you want to go today? First of all, how'd you know? But you want to go today? And he was like, yeah, I do. And I was like, okay, well, get your stuff ready. You know, let's do it. And so we went. He had a great time. And on the way back, I was like, I want you to know I basically, you had about a week, and I was going to tell your coach, can you just withdraw us officially?
Yeah, because he was trying to sign up again, pay that big money.
And I want him to be able to move on and create his team, knowing Joe wasn't going to be present. And so when he was like, why would you do that? I was like, no, I didn't know when this phase was going
to
be over.
Why would you do the thing that I asked you to do?
And so now he's back, and I'm happy because he came back on his own accord. It wasn't like forced or anything. He came back on
his
own accord.
Wearing the Barca jersey.
But one thing I want to say about the middle school bit is that the other day Isaiah had his friend over, little girl, cute little girl. She's the principal's daughter.
Special girl.
And
real
she's
good girl.
They've been friends for a few years and since elementary. I don't know if they were friends in elementary school.
No.
element. No, they weren't, right? I didn't think so.
Just
in middle school.
Middle school. Third year?
So,
third year middle school.
So she came over to the house because, like I said, her dad's the principal, and he was doing some stuff at work, and the kids have half days because the holiday break is coming up.
Oh,
so
is that why she came?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was because of project.
No. They already presented.
We off that?
Yeah.
And I don't be helping.
So she came over, and all the kids are on the couch. They're playing the game. And Joe is literally trying to play the game. Okay, so he's all in, trying to explain to them how to play. They're texting each other and then playing against Joe. So Joe is like, you guys need to get off your phones. Like, we need to be playing the game.
Focus, guys.
So Isaiah would text the little girl. And then Isaiah would say, get off your phone, little girl, because I'm trying not to say her name. And then Joe would be like, yeah, you need to get off your phone. Then she would text Isaiah back. And then she would say, Isaiah, get off your phone. So Joe would be like, get off your phone. So they're doing it. And I'm like,
Joe's completely unaware of what's happening.
Completely unaware. And I'm like, I am watching you guys flirt with each other in front of me. This is parenting. It was just such a like...
You let that happen?
I did let it happen because, first of all, I thought it was really cute. But also, I'm like, I'm also watching y'all. Because Isaiah's like, I want to show you something. And so she got up and I was like, boo, he'll bring it out. Have a seat. And Joe was like, no, you can't. No, she can't.
Joe just be like, everything is fine. Joe's, I trust all the people in the world.
Joe's still
I'm
being
oblivious
little.
To the United States of the Earth.
Let me, no, we're not doing that. You have a seat. He'll come out here with it. But it was just so funny because I'm like, this is part of growing. And I don't want him to like feel bad. Like, they probably don't even recognize like this is flirting. And she's like, you're supposed to be my best friend. Da, 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 da. I'm like, this is how it starts. You guys are best friend. And then all of a sudden, feelings happen.
The crazy thing about it is the little girl, we're talking about Melissa's niece, Mariah, or all my niece too. And she's 13, and the girl's 13. I met Mel, Melissa's youngest sister. She was 12 years old. And I'm just like, Monique was 14, Melissa was 16. Mm-hmm. Isaiah will be our age when we met in 2 years.
That's crazy.
Or 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. And his voice, bruh, Melissa had her back to me in the house 2 days ago. Isaiah comes to the room. He's like, you gonna finish that? She's like, who? Isaiah? Like, it sounds just like me talking. Like, yeah, his voice sounds deeper than me because he'd be trying to play into it. Yeah. I'd just be talking. He'd be like, you gonna finish that? I'm like, okay, Barry, not quite. But he is like, I hate it and love it.
Yeah, I do too.
It's crazy how fast it happens because kids be at your house every day. And next thing you know, they just have thoughts and feelings and they see the world their own way. Like, oh, Josh, the big thing right now, after school, we're going to Jack in the Box.
Oh, yeah. This is his favorite thing.
It is the whole, we got like a piggy bank in my office and we just throw money in there so they can take it for lunch and stuff. Bro, I ain't never seen this thing drop down. Like, like, bro, what's happening? We've been going to Jack in the Box. Oh, it's literally, they look forward to, Isaiah is like me and Melissa. We fully enjoyed school. We liked it. We liked going. We liked staying after. Joe and Isaiah are, polar opposites in so many things, but school is probably the biggest one. School and food. Isaiah has never eaten anything bad. Josiah's never eaten anything good.
Yeah.
He don't even eat either. Joe don't be eating. Mm. But anyway, now, like, we literally we're going to take them to, like, Australia or Hawaii for spring break next year. And they were like, can we stay at home? Because our friends be doing, like, going to the dance.
Yes.
Like, bro, Hawaii. And they're like, maybe we can go to Vegas for a day or two. But, you know, we just kind of want to be available for our friends because, you know, we want to hang. So I was like, I told Zay last night, look, you can stay home I'm working. I'm picking up a show or two. Said, y'all don't need me no way.
Right.
Let me do what I want to do because they do not care. And I remember this age in my life. I don't think you're ever consciously like your parents suck, but they are going through like, I don't want to be with them.
They don't.
Every time we go out of town, they be like, can we just stay here? In Spain, that's why I'm not taking them to no exotic places.
Trying to tell you.
But I want to show them the world. But then when I get there, I'll be like, bro, I want to show you back to your room.
Exactly. Are you done on that thought?
Yes.
So, yes, definitely middle school.
He going to be in high school next.
It's the ghetto, and high school's finna be
He only
worse.
Got 6 months. They get out in June. It's almost January. They get out in June, 6 months of high school.
I'll have to create a new word for high school because I'm not ready for that.
Luckily, the only good thing is his high school is near his middle school, like literally the next campus over.
Yes.
Because having to take him to, when I have to see high school students, I'm going to be like, oh. Remember when we took Isaiah to middle school? Yes. We saw all them big
and
kids.
And they're so big.
When they were kids were smoking the weed. I seen them smoking the weed.
All right, the next one. The script you're holding on to may be the very thing holding you back.
Oh, my shot. I've been speaking in tongues a lot today.
So what this means for me is someone just talked about it. I think it was Maria, where we were talking about we become so entrenched with these scripts. And I recognize as I look back over my life. And
as I look back
if you sing over one more
my
song,
life, I can see. Liz, you just need to hear this song. I'm sorry. This song has been in my freaking.
What is it? You is it heard? Old school?
Yes.
Oh, I think I know this.
That's literally the first word of this song. Yeah. I'm sorry. We're going to just. This is happening. This is also a theme song for the last scene. You've been so faithful.
I'm trying to remember how it goes. Who sings it?
You know it. Various artists. This is the Phoenix Mass Choir. As I look back over my life.
Hold on, I need to hear more. Oh, I do know the song.
Even though I'm alone, you never left me alone. You forgave me.
Is there another version?
Yes. This I remember right there, for I have hope. It's because of your mercy that we are not consumed.
Okay, I do know this, but I don't know this version.
There's eight million versions of this song.
Okay.
Great is thy faithfulness.
Oh, yeah.
Great is thy faithfulness.
I'm like, hold on.
Literally 8 million versions of this. I downloaded like 4 of them before I found the one that I liked.
You remember? When I look back over my life, I recognize that I became really tied to the script that I am the practical one in our relationship. I am the one that is stable. I am the logical one. I am the secure one. I am those things. Kevin is the opposite of
those. Now you are all the things.
And now... and so what that did, though, was as I, and I feel like God literally told me this, as I was transitioning out of my job, that you've done the work to put you in a position to where you can dream. Mm. And I never considered myself, oh, I don't want to get emotional. I've been like, ever since... Morgan was like, make room for it. I'm like, I should make room for these because I'm such a crybaby.
You always
fight
it.
And I hate crying. And so I've been holding it back. And now I'm like, make room for it. It's okay.
Make room for that.
And now I'm going to cry. If you do that, you're going to jack in a box my tears out. But anyway, I just feel like I never knew that there were dreams inside of me because I was holding on to a script that no longer served me.
Yes. Well, I thought you were going to keep going.
Oh, that's it. Well, you said, yes, I want to like open the
what
floor
was
for
the
you
script?
To speak. About being stable, the logical.
I'm going
to
work a 9-to-5.
Yes.
I'm going to cook dinner.
Yeah,
I'm going
to
retire at 55.
It ties to the, there are more ways to make money than the 9-to-5. Like, all of those things kind of, like, came together to allow me to leave my 9-to-5 and allowed me to dream.
I love that.
Okay.
I think I've been pretty much open with my life.
You haven't, but is there a script that you could be holding on to?
You know what's funny? We were at All Def yesterday. We were shooting at this building that's much bigger than ours. Mm-hmm. And people were like, Kev, the fans in the comments were like, did you buy this? Did you buy this, Kev? And I'm like, this thing, you see how big it is? Mm-hmm. This thing is like 20,000. It's like humongous.
Wow.
I'm like, I don't know. I'll never be this big. And Cedric and Meg, I was talking to them before we left. And Meg was going, you don't know how big you're going to get. You need it. And Seg was like, you need to speak life over there. You'd be biggest Tyler Perry. You could have this studio. Why couldn't you? And I was just like, y'all right, man. Why would I make, like, I wouldn't even have thought a year ago I would have this office.
Yeah.
Like, this office was literally because of Aska.
Right.
And the Love Hour. Remember that one guest that wouldn't leave? You were like, we cannot do this, you know? And then we got here, and then now I can't even imagine not having an office. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what the next 10 years holds. I just want to get it all for me, you know?
Love it.
Cool, cool.
Okay, so there's two more that I have down, and we may have done more than 10. I'm not quite sure. How to be, okay, so like there's this meme that's really popular, be my peace. And I feel like this year or the last 10 years, I've learned to be my own peace by speaking up for myself and being aggressively genuine, as Patrick Cloud says. I feel like peace comes from within.
Yeah.
Peace comes from not being fully integrated, which is integrity, where your mind, body, and soul all match. Oh, yeah. And I feel like a lot of times we are at war within ourselves. We've talked about this before, because we're not being ourselves.
Yes.
We are not being our full selves. We're not living up to our full capacities. We're muting ourselves. We are doing holding ourselves back. We have all these things. We have things we want to say, and we're not doing those things. And that causes a war to be within yourself. So I feel like in the last 10 years, I have learned to be, not expect you to be anything for me, not expect anyone to do anything or be anything for me. I've learned to do those things on my own. Of course, with God, like, don't get it twisted.
Yep.
But I'm not depending on anyone else to bring peace to me, happiness to me, wholeness to me. That comes from a different source. Last one. Sex is not a dirty word.
Dirty, nasty, licking sex.
I think the whole reason I am even here and have a podcast and I'm speaking right now is because of that revelation.
Oh, that is because someone had sex.
Because what?
Your parents had sex. Why are you here? Because sex is not a dirty word?
Because the revelation is what allowed me to even have the initial people that have been like, I've been liking you for a long time, Melissa. What was probably the initial, I think I like her, hi, I'm Miss Conservative, who grew up thinking sex was dirty, who grew up thinking sex was a naughty word, who grew up thinking sex was, you know, tied to the devil. And I flipped over, got a ring on my finger, and struggled with my sexuality my sex life as a result. That is the whole reason I have a platform.
Yeah.
That revelation was, and that like openness and honesty and transparency is what allowed me and opened up a platform for me. So I feel like that revelation is the reason I'm here.
Yeah.
Did you have anything?
Not much for me to say on that. Okay. I'm just pretty much.
I feel like it's interesting to me that something that is like so personal is also what opened up a platform for me.
Absolutely,
it was such a
ain't funny how God works.
It is, and it was something that the work that I did in finding that out was. The point of that wasn't this.
Right.
The point of that was really to grow and evolve me on a personal level and my marriage, like all of those things. And then being able to talk about the steps that I took, that process, that journey is what opened up this platform. And so that's kind of interesting to me.
Love it.
Anything you wanted to add? Those were really like my 10. I didn't know if you wanted to add anything.
I don't want to add nothing. We good.
Okay. I guess that's it.
That is it. I love you all. Happy Christmas. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you next year.
That's it. Thank you guys so very much for rocking with us for the last year. Thank you guys so much for supporting all of our episodes, for following our guests and showing love to our guests that we've had so far, allowing me to have a moment where I did the For Women Only. One thing that I want to do next year is expand For Women Only. I want to do more round tables. I want to do just a lot of things that I have in my mind. So look forward to that.
Gosh, that's another event you can do.
A round table?
Oh, no, that's not what you're thinking.
Oh.
I was thinking For Women Only meetups.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Just small little meetups, small groups.
That's a good idea.
Limited amount. I don't think everything has to be the Love Hour thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, just, hey, I'm meeting with my For Women Only Dallas.
Yeah, Houston, that's a great idea.
New York City.
Don't forget to get your Love Hour tickets. Next year, we are in full mode, because there's still so many people that are like, I didn't even know you guys were doing a conference. So I will be highly advertising that next year. We will be in full production mode with that. And Kevin just dropped his tour dates. And I think that's it. We'll see you guys in the new year. Bye.